step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
It's time for Clemson Sports Talk with Lawton Swan.
Ready, set,
just call me Swanee.
Tiger style. Tiger style.
Finally, Clemson Sports Talk has come back to Drive Time. Hello, everybody. Lawton Swan back in the saddle once again. It is the show that shakes the Southland. Clemson Sports Talk for you each and every afternoon as you make your way around the great state of South Carolina and beyond, listening to us on incredible radio stations like Fox Sports Radio 1400, the Midlands, around the world on the iHeartRadio app, podcasted and enjoyable for all of you. Again, just after the program goes off the air, working to get more videos up online, working to get more growth on the YouTube channel, better recruiting coverage, all of that for you on ClemsonSportsTalk.com. Put the .com on it. Doggone it. The NBA draft coming up tonight. Tomorrow's show and part of this show will be filled with some retrospective interviews, some look backs, according to reports. I will say this, we will be having in the next segment through the rest of this hour our interview we did with Grayson Marshall, former Clemson Tiger basketball player, to talk about the event that's coming up tomorrow with the WAB Celebrity Golf Tournament that we interviewed Wayne Buckingham about yesterday. We'll also reset that interview on Friday with Wayne for you, and again, his information and number and everything is in all of that. We even re-ran it on our YouTube channel because, it, like Wayne said, I mean, it's a good event because it's a fundraiser. And if you're thinking, man, I'd love to do it, and $200 sounds expensive, I would talk to Wayne to find out about, you know, the potential tax benefits of being a part of that event. So, There you go. Check out yesterday's program or the podcast or find it on YouTube. And then hopefully you can get up with Wayne and maybe be a part of the third annual or who knows, maybe even the fourth annual event at some point. At the College World Series yesterday, Oklahoma, the Sooners, eliminate Texas A&M with a 5-1 win. Oklahoma advances to the championship series. Arkansas last night staves off elimination with a 3-2 victory over Ole Miss. Those two teams will face off again this afternoon. That matchup set to get underway here momentarily. And so it will be an SEC team currently versus a future SEC team in Oklahoma. We know that. For the national title, will the Big 12 take it home, though, in this instance? Again, awaiting the winner of Ole Miss and Arkansas. Arkansas 49-21, Ole Miss 42-23. As for the NBA, a couple of notes before we talk about the NBA draft tonight. I know exactly who I would take, and there's really not a question about it. And for me, it's a no-brainer. I'll tell you who in a minute. But there are also conversations out there about my Los Angeles Lakers. And you know, I'm not a LeBron James Laker. I'm not a Kobe Laker. I'm not a Shaq Laker. I'm a Laker that goes back to the days of Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, AC Green, James Worthy, Byron Scott, Michael Thompson, Kurt Rambis. I'm that Laker. I'm old school. Jeff Lamp. You go, Jeff who? Jeff Lamp. I used to call him the Lamplighter. That dude could shoot it. Jeff Lamp played at Virginia, but then spent time with the Los Angeles Lakers. Just get the ball to the Lamplighter and get out of the way. 15th overall selection back in the 1981 draft. The Los Angeles Lakers. Oh, by the way, I didn't mention Michael Cooper and Michael Thompson, I don't think. The Los Angeles Lakers. The possibility of reunited and it feels so good. Reuniting. LeBron James and Kyrie Irving, potentially. Oh, I got to tell you guys. I don't understand if I see an alternate reality that some of you see. But I just, like, for me, if I'm LeBron James, and I know all the hassle that I had to deal with Kyrie Irving in Cleveland, and I see what's happened with Kyrie Irving with the Brooklyn Nets. Guys, sometimes I just think that I see the world through different lens than everybody else. Because what is wrong with some people? Why would you want to get hooked back up with Kyrie Irving and his weird self? I don't even know another way to put it. Selfish, flat earther, weird guy. I mean, he's just a strange bird. Like, if I'm LeBron James, I don't need that. I don't need that. It's like a nutty ex-girlfriend or something. You don't need this in your life. You don't need this in your life. LeBron, you're too old to have to put up with that nonsense. You already have put up with Russell Westbrook. And you see what happened there. You want to bring Kyrie in on this action? Man, I got to tell you, I am. And yeah, I mean, maybe they win a title. But it to me, that's like, it's like bringing Draymond Green on board. You're going to get a guy who is going to be nutty half the season. And maybe even risk being nutty during championship series.
Did you eat a lot of paint chips when you were a kid?
Why?
Hey, there you go. Maybe that's what's up. But the rumors and speculation that LeBron James and Kyrie Irving might be reuniting in Los Angeles. Oh, boy. I'm not loving it. All right. NBA draft, though. Maybe this is where my Lakers or your favorite team can make up some gaps. Well, most people are projecting that Jabari Smith, versatile youngster out of Auburn, just 19 years old, will be the number one overall selection by the Orlando Magic. But for me, I know he's Thinzilla. But I would take Chet Holmgren, who people have projected to go to the Oklahoma City Thunder, as the second overall selection. I would take Holmgren in a minute. This kid, now look, and I'm assuming at some point his legs are going to look less like he's riding a chicken on the court. I'm assuming that. But Holmgren, at 7 feet, maybe 7'1", averaged nearly 15 points at Gonzaga, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, can handle the ball on the open floor, can shoot the ball from the perimeter, is a matchup nightmare. rebounds near the basket, easy flush and finish. He reminds me of a, I don't want to say a more athletic, because this would be unfair to Dirk Nowitzki, because Dirk was a heck of a player, maybe a top 10 player all time. But he does remind me of kind of that same ilk. Now, not as much back to the basket and power basketball yet, but if you frame him up a little bit and you put some more weight on him, trying to see, Dirk's playing weight was about 245. So bigger, broader. But I think that if Chet Holmgren can get to about 225, he'll be a force in the NBA. And I think he'll be a force for a long time. But again, he does look like he's riding a chicken. His legs are so skinny. Projected to go number two overall to Oklahoma City, but I would take him number one. Paolo Banchero, whose body is already built for the NBA, the freshman out of Duke, projected to go third to the Houston Rockets. You know, Banchero had his moments. The problem for me with him is I don't know if he will eventually develop the mid-range outside game that seemingly is much more necessary now in the NBA than it's ever been. He does have, however, the ability to handle the basketball. He's athletic as all get out. He reminds me of Blake Griffin. That's kind of the player I feel like you're getting. Maybe a little bit more, what's the word? Maybe a little bit more, I don't want to say coordinated, but maybe with the ability to move a little bit better in open space, kind of get that vibe around Banchero. And I think that's part of the development of players at this point and the way the game has changed since when Griffin was coming out. I think Banchero has the ability to be that type of player in the NBA. So those are the top three most likely selections in the NBA draft. And it's a weird year, and the NBA is getting weirder and weirder because, you know, so many guys come out early and so many guys are from overseas that it's incredible. You feel like you can watch an entire season of college basketball and then get to the NBA draft and go, I don't even remember that guy playing. And how many times do you watch the NBA now and there'll be a guy and he's like taking over the sport and you're going, I don't even remember this guy playing college at all. And then you look it up and you find out, oh man, this guy played it. You know, I'll give you an example. I'll give you a prime example of this fact coming to fruition, if you will. Kawhi Leonard. I mean, I honestly don't remember Kawhi Leonard at all collegiately. And maybe I should have. I know he was at San Diego State, and I think they made maybe a run or two in the NCAA tournament while he was there. But I don't remember him, like, standing out. Dwayne Wade, kind of the same thing. Like, I remember Marquette being good. I don't remember thinking I might be looking at one of the next great players, right? So that's a weird part of the way this whole thing now sets up. As for my Los Angeles Lakers, if you're wondering what they might be doing in the first round, well, I'll tell you at this point, nada. They don't have a pick. So maybe they make a trade. Maybe they work their way up. But the Lakers aren't going to be doing any improving via the first round. They were supposed to have the eighth pick, but that goes to the New Orleans Pelicans, I guess, in part of that trade to get Anthony Davis, and the Lakers don't have a pick in the second round. So at this point, my Los Angeles Lakers will be making no improvements during the draft unless they make some trades. So there you go, Los Angeles Laker fans. It's either Kyrie or the highway. And I say take the highway. Let's just let's don't worry about it. I would rather ride out LeBron James's time in Los Angeles with no drama. No drama. Just give me LeBron James and whatever ragtag group of individuals he dragged to the championship in Cleveland with Pavlovich and Big Ziti and all those guys. Give me that group. That was a heck of a lineup. Incredible LeBron took that group to the NBA Finals. If you don't know the rundown of it, LeBron James drug Daniel Gibson, Drew Gooden, Larry Hughes, and Zydrunas Ilgauskas to the NBA Finals. Oh, Swanee, surely they had other great players on that team. Shannon Brown, Damon Jones, Dwayne Jones, Donnell Marshall, Ira Newby. Is it Newby or Newble? I can't even remember. Alexander Pavlovic, Scott Pollard, Eric Snow, Anderson Varejao, and David Wesley. LeBron James put those guys on his back and carried them into the NBA Finals against the San Antonio Spurs, who, oh, I don't know, they were pretty loaded with Tim Duncan and crew. Tim, Manu, Tony. Yeah. I believe that series may have been 4-0. It was. Sweep City. 803-450-0086. Although, give LeBron James credit. Not only did they did get swept, but they lost game 3 by 3 points at home and game 4 by 1 point. I mean, LeBron made the thing at least competitive. At least competitive. But yeah, I'd rather see LeBron drag some guys like that back to the finals in his advanced age than I would to see him doing it with Kyrie Irving being a big distraction. So put it that way. I'm trying to see here. How old was LeBron that year? Looks like he was about 23 when he did that. I mean, he was so young. And I think I'd have to go back and check, but there was, I believe, the series before this one, Cleveland defeated Detroit, I think, and I believe that was the game where LeBron scored something like 22 consecutive points at one point and was just dominant. It was one of the most dominant finishes of a ball game in playoff history that I'd ever seen, because it was like LeBron got whatever shot he wanted and you weren't going to slow him down. And I imagine somewhere out there you could probably find it, but that was absolutely incredible. 25 straight. Just looked it up. LeBron James scored 25 straight points to defeat the Detroit Pistons in game 5 of the Eastern Conference. And he scored 29 of the team's last 30 during the final 16 minutes. I'm going to tell you, at that point, and if you didn't already believe that LeBron James was going to be an all-time great, that moment probably should have been the one that sold you on it. Because that Pistons team was loaded with talent, defensive talent, just incredible ball players. LeBron had that ragtag group I just mentioned. And that Joker scored 25 straight points. And a lot of that was, you're not going to stop me, and I'm going to get to the basket, and I'm going to finish. I just remember over and over, finished with his right hand slamming the ball. Just like, you're not stopping me. I'm bully balling you guys, and I'm 20 years old, 22 years old, whatever he was. It's crazy. One of the best performances I've ever seen. We'll hit a quick break and come back with our interview we did with former Clemson Tiger basketball star Grayson Marshall a couple of weeks ago. It is the show that shakes the Southland on a Thursday afternoon. Don't forget, coming up tomorrow, Wayne Buckingham's event, WAB Sports Celebrity Fundraiser Golf Tournament up in Tiger Town in the area over at Boscobel Country Club. They got a whole event planned. Learn more. WABSports.com is the website, and there will be a lot of former Tigers involved. And if you can't go this year, maybe next year, we're going to actually play the interview we did with Wayne Buckingham on tomorrow's show as well. But earlier, I guess technically back in May, we sat down with Grayson Marshall. He's expected to be there this weekend. The former Clemson Tiger guard talked about the event and his time in Tiger Town and what he's been up to. Grayson, welcome in. Hope you're doing well. Thank you for joining the show.
It is always a pleasure. I am happy to do it, and I'm excited to be on the show.
Look, I know there are a lot of ins and the outs to get to here today with you, especially about the upcoming charity event taking place up in Clemson. But let me ask you this first. Catch people up. You know, your basketball star at Clemson from 84 to 88. Where have you been, and what has Grayson Marshall been up to?
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Been relocated to Jacksonville, Florida. I've been there since 1989. Father of four kids, four grandkids. I'm a serial business owner, serial entrepreneur the whole time. An author of six books. I'm a podcast professional. I'm doing consulting. I'm doing a lot of personal coaching. And recently, I'm undertaking a huge health movement called Health Evangelism, where we really are focusing on the one issue that the world seems to have united, and that's challenges with health. You know, we tend to rally around, get emotional about, get real enthusiastic about anything having to do with race or gender or politics or religion. But for some reason, we can't seem to rally around the one issue that is always going to affect our future, and that's health. So we've done some phenomenal stuff there. I'm working with some influencers around the country to bring a message of dealing with the source and not the symptom. And let's stop band-aiding what's going on and really help people live full, complete, and productive, positive lives.
Grayson Marshall with us here on the program today. So, Grayson, where did your drive and your determination to do the things that you've done and to accomplish all that you've accomplished, you know, where did that come from for you?
You know, I think it's in my DNA from being an assist guy. Who can I help? Who can I set up for success? You know, being the career assist leader when I graduated, being Clemson's career assist leader, playing with guys like Eldon and Dale and Horace, and just having a great time distributing the ball to them, watching them finish. I think every part of my life has always been, how can I make someone else look better? So I think that for me, that's always been the quintessential drive for me. Who can I make look good? Who can I help? And who can I assist? And that's what drives me every single day.
Well, obviously, those assists still continuing, as I know you're going to be a part of Wayne Buckingham's situation or his event that they've got, WAB Sports Celebrity Fundraiser Golf Tournament up in Clemson, Sunday, June the 26th at Boscobel Country Club right there, I guess technically in Pendleton, but everybody that's either a student or traveled to Clemson knows their way past Boscobel. You mm-hmm. know, being able to still see your buddies, it's a tight-knit group, obviously, the basketball team, a much smaller fraternity than that of which the football, you know, program certainly produces. So sure. What is it like for you to be able to give back to some of your best friends and have an opportunity like this?
Well, the first year was for Sharon Wright, and obviously Sharon is a little big brother to me because of him being 6'9", and being able to work with him and, again, in his health challenges. I think that what's awesome about it is Buck has done something that, frankly, Clemson alumni has never been able to do, and that's bring back in athletes from all sports collectively and get them together in a unified space to enjoy working on, to enjoy each other's company for a great cause. You know, so when we get together, obviously it's for someone, and we've picked and chosen who that is, but nobody has been able to, up until Buck, to get people from every sport and other sports together and do this. If they hasn't been able to do it, Block C hasn't been able to do it, nothing like this. So if you're listening and you really want to see what real collective Clemson family looks like as a collective athletic department, not just football, not just basketball, not just baseball, if you want to see what the whole collective looks like when we get together, come join us that Sunday. I mean, if nothing else, just come hang out. If you're a business, get a team and put some people in. You will see a different side of Clemson athletics and Clemson alumni that you've never seen before, and it will add to what you really feel about what's in those hills.
And again, it is the third annual WAB Sports Celebrity Benefit Golf Tournament at Boscobel Country Club this summer. June the 26th is the tournament, but it's a whole weekend. On Friday, the 24th, there'll be a tailgate party at the Comfort Inn and Suites in Clemson that begins at 5 o'clock Saturday. You've got an autograph session. You've got a ton of names. You mentioned some already, from Dale Davis, Chris Whitney, Harold Jameson, you know, Tree Rollins to the Jeff Bostics and Joe Bostic from the football side, LaVon Kirkland. I mean, it is who's who.
Michael Dean will be there. Ray MVP. Williams will be there. I mean, there'll be a lot of folks. You know, and thank Dabo for giving it a shout out himself. I mean, so a lot of some of the things we're doing are going to benefit his foundation as well. But I'm saying this isn't just athletes getting together. These are really a collective group of guys that are wanting to do stuff as a group, not just separatists. And not to say that we advocate that, but when you see Larry Penley is going to, you know, all those guys, right, members of my Hall of Fame class, he's going to be there. Meet some golfers are going to be there. We're going to have, obviously, women's basketball is going to be there. There's a soccer player is going to be there. I mean, there's a lot of folks that are going to be there. And I think this is the first time that we've ever really gotten it to where it's that collective and we're all doing it together. And I think it's amazing. So it's the third time, and the third time's the charm.
Again, that's part of our interview with Grayson Marshall from back in May. And we will continue that conversation with him when we get back right here on Fox Sports Radio 1400, the Midlands, and around the world on the iHeartRadio application as we roll along on a Thursday afternoon. It is the show that shakes the Southland. Keep it locked for more Clemson Sports Talk, and follow us on Twitter at Clemson Sports. It is the Thursday edition of the show that shakes the Southland, Clemson Sports Talk. We jump back into our interview that we did back in May on a retrospective edition of the program with Grayson Marshall, the former Clemson Tiger basketball star, talking about the WAB Sports Celebrity Golf Tournament that's coming up this weekend. I guarantee you this, if you think you're hearing great stories today from Grayson Marshall on Clemson Sports Talk, wait until you get an opportunity to hang out with those guys that weekend. One price for all events is $200 per person, according to the release. You can also call 331-472-9828, Tiger fans. That's 331-472-9828, or email wabsports@gmail.com to find out more information about the WAB Sports Celebrity Fundraiser and Golf Tournament. And so also a couple of names that people will know: Coach Cliff Ellis, former Clemson Tiger women's coach, Jim Davis going to be a part of that, and many others.
Danny Ford, home of Jordan. I was about to say that, Lon. I mean, when you sit around and you hear Coach Ford talk about the years, and when we really sit back and reminisce, I think the real part of the engagement is hearing what life was like through the athlete's eyes at Clemson. You know what I mean? I think when I first met people that had watched me play, they have a reverence and almost an awe at times when they don't know you. But once they really get to know who you really are, it gives them a different perspective on you as a person, you as a whole entity. And it works on, you know, that relationship. So what it does for me is it fortifies what people believed about you that didn't know you. And it really sits well in their memory going down the road. Cause I've sat with people and, man, I got your wristband and I wore your number when I was, you know, in grade school and middle school, but, you know, and you hear this and, you know, kids and their kids are way of age. And it's just neat to see what the impact that you had and the fact that you're still able to give back in that way, making a gesture of love for somebody else and being able to do some amazing things in conjunction with the best university I know.
Former Clemson Tiger guard Grayson Marshall with us here on Clemson Sports Talk today, talking about the WAB Sports Celebrity Fundraiser and Golf Tournament that'll be taking place this summer, a 3-day event with tons of former Clemson Tigers. So Grayson, let me dig in a little deeper here with you about your time at Clemson. I don't know if you got to see it, but the tournament series that the ACC Network put together was like a 10-part series mm-hmm. covering the history of the ACC tournament. What a lot of people may not know, some of our younger listeners to the program mm-hmm. may not realize that, you know, when you get to Clemson in 84 through 88, I mean, the Tigers are really just off of the heels of a run into the Elite Eight back in 1980. Give me some right. insight, although not the most decorated program. What mm-hmm. was Clemson basketball in your mind during those years when you were a part of it back in the mid to late 80s?
Yeah, I think it was the shift. Clemson's always been a football school. And I think for that 12 years that Cliff was there, it really balanced itself out. And even people could have said we were probably more of a basketball school then. Football was in a transitional time, and they weren't the elite of the elite as they are today. So we really had a new flavor. You know, Coach Foster was more the bring it up, set up kind of guy. And Cliff Ellis was our mission is transition. So we were fast break. We were high energy. We were putting points on the board. And we used to pack Little John like never before. I mean, that was it was rocking in the day. So just to have that type of engagement from the crowd and then being in the best conference in the country. Because when you not only look at what we have, but you looked at every other school. And you looked at some of the greatest college basketball players in the history of the game that were in the Atlantic Coast Conference. When you go back to the Danny Ferries, the Christian Leitners, when you go back to the Mark Prices and the Bruce Dalrymples and the Kenny Smiths and the Dave Popsons and the Joe Wolfs and the Dwayne Farrells and NC State had Spud Webb and Nate McMillan and Cozell McQueen and Wake Forest had Muggsy Bogues and Kenny Green and Laney Rudd and Anthony Tichy. When you look at Carolina, Kenny Smith, Jeff Lebo, Warren Martin, Brad Daugherty, I mean, when you look at the teams that were in Maryland, had Lenny Bias and Jeff yeah. Baxter and Derek Lewis, Keith Gatlin, when you really look at the teams, every night you went out, you were playing against the best of the best. The toughest player I ever played against was Mark Price from Georgia Tech. And because he could do just about any and everything on the court. So, I mean, when you really look at Duke had Tommy Amaker and Johnny Dawkins and David Henderson and Mark Allery. And I mean, just the names are the names of the best of the best of all time that still carry records to this day, 20, 30 years later. And these are still the names at the top of their school scoring list and assist list and games played and games won. You know, so that was an amazing, amazing time. So it was just basketball at its best. And it was a great thing to be a part of.
Yeah, I don't ever want to be the, like, get off of my lawn guy, Grayson, but I'm 45, mm-hmm. and I got to tell you, I said this the other week. I thought college basketball in the Atlantic Coast Conference, when it was a little more intimate league, when you played everybody twice, you had a home and home, mm-hmm. I really mm-hmm. thought it was a little – not to take away from the game or the players or anything, but I thought it made the rivalries bigger and better, and you knew the names, and you bring them up left and right. I mean, and mm-hmm. when you talk about the Mark Prices and the Lenny Bias, and you played them a couple of times mm-hmm. a year, I mean, mm-hmm. that made it – I just think it just made it bigger and better. I don't know. Maybe I'm old-fashioned.
Well, no, and you're not. But I think there's a whole lot of things that have watered down the game. The way it's played now is completely different. It's played outside in instead of inside out. The transfer portal. I mean, there's so many things, Lawton, that have just disenfranchised this game from being in its purest place. And college basketball, the NCAA men's basketball tournament, used to be the amateur's oasis. You know, everybody watched the tournament because it was so unpredictable. Now it's boring. It's not even any fun. You don't know the players. You don't know who's on what team. The team winning national championships got six transfers. I mean, it's just, it's a completely different game. So I'm glad that I was in a nostalgic time where the roots of good basketball and history can still be talked about, annaled, and really appreciated because it's so different now.
Awesome memories and moments with Grayson Marshall here on the program. I'll tell you what, we've got a break coming up here on the Thursday edition of the show. And when we come back, we'll put a bow on this interview with Grayson and we'll kick you off towards the second half of the program. So unbelievable how quickly the show is moving by, but that's the way it goes sometimes. When you're having fun, man, the time just goes right on by. Follow us on Twitter at Clemson Sports with a quick break. Stay with us. Final segment of hour number one, and again, we continue our conversation with Grayson Marshall about the WAB Sports Celebrity Golf Tournament. We did this interview with Grayson back in May. The event's coming up this weekend. The website, WABSports.com, to learn more. We'll have our interview that we did yesterday with Wayne Buckingham for you on the program tomorrow. Also tomorrow, we'll hear from Clemson University Athletic Director as we reset the interview we did with Graham Neff earlier in the week. So if you missed that, it'll be available for you tomorrow on a retrospective edition of Clemson Sports Talk. But without further ado, we dive back in to wrap up our interview with Grayson Marshall from back in May about the WAB Sports Celebrity Golf Fundraiser that'll be taking place in Clemson, a three-day event coming up starting tomorrow in Tigertown. You mentioned the game being so different now and the way it's played. I guess we have to thank what Steph Curry for what we've seen, and it's filtered everywhere in a mighty big hurry. But being a guy that played on the perimeter and did what you did, dishing the ball as well to a bunch of big guys, what have you made of the changes in the game of basketball?
It plays into the marketing. It plays into the sensitivity of the society. They don't touch anybody, can't foul them, be nice, everything. I mean, that's kind of like the underlying message. Don't offend anybody. Everybody's fair. Everybody gets a trophy. I mean, it's ugh. But that's just kind of where it is. So for me, it's just, again, things change, times change. Unfortunately, sports has grabbed a lot of what society is embracing as their own issues. Basketball was never political. It was never, you know, it was never social. We never protested. I mean, there were so many things that didn't, that usually sports were exempt from. And that was the one thing about sports, is you didn't have to deal with that in that space. And now it's forced for them to deal with, for them to make emotional commentary about. And now the fact that they can express that in forms of social media like Twitter, it just creates more distraction than it does focus on the game. So it's just a different time. I'm just glad I played when I did.
Again, the WAB Sports Celebrity Fundraising Golf Tournament. The other way you can learn more about it, WABSports.com. Of course, Wayne Buckingham, the integral part of putting this together, and then fraternity brothers, so to speak, from the basketball fraternity at Clemson and many other names from the football side of things, former coaches will be involved in making sure that this is an incredible weekend for all. So, not to get too much off of the tracks here, but obviously, Grayson, we certainly appreciate you coming on the program with us. I do have to ask, though, playing with the big men that you played with, you know, give us a little breakdown of Horace versus Eldon, et cetera, and what did, you know, those different players bring to the table?
They were all alike and all different in the same fashion. Horace was probably the hardest worker when it came down to it. That's not taking away anything from Dale, because Dale was a hell of a worker. Eldon probably had the most natural ability, great shooter, could leap. He just had a natural flow for the game. He was very, very smooth with the game. Dale was an overachiever. When he came from Toccoa, Georgia, he was 6'6". By the time his freshman year, he was 6'9 and a half. And he just brought his lunch pail every day. But here's what he did. He played within himself. He never tried to do anything more than what Dale could do. Dale dominated the middle. He made an impact around the rim. He rebounded. And he made everything that you gave him near the bucket. And that was the good part about him. We know what kind of career Harz had in the league, winning championships after championships. Eldon both and Dale both, 14, 15 years in the league. So we put out a bunch of great players. But I think obviously playing 3 years with Harz, our relationship and our connection was probably second to none. And I think a lot of his success was because of how we connected, being able to pass the ball into him ready to receive it. Because when we first started, it was a whole different game. Him coming from Sparta, Hancock Central High School, it was a different game we got here. And I came from D.C., so I had a little bit more of a ready basketball IQ. And so the whole thing was a dynamic change for everybody. But once we got on the same page, it was fun to watch. People loved it, and we had a fun time doing it.
It will be an incredible event, June the 24th through 26th, WABSports.com. You can learn more about it, the celebrity fundraiser and golf tournament up at Clemson. Former Clemson Tiger Grayson Marshall here with us today. And Grayson, I know we got a month and a half or so until the event. We want to get as many people signed up as we can. I'd love to try to hook back up with you at some point as we get a little bit closer. And I'll tell you what, I could talk to you all day about the history and the legacy of Clemson Tiger basketball, too. Thank you so much.
Not a problem. You call me whenever, and I'll be more than happy to join.
That was a great opportunity to get a chance to talk with Grayson, to get a chance to reflect back on his memories in Tigertown, and again, a chance for you guys, potentially, maybe not this year, you might not be able to make it, but maybe next year, to get an opportunity to hang out with some of those legends that you watched on the court. 803-450-0086, text line, phone line. Be a part of the show anytime. When we come back, you know, I don't know where in the pecking order of strange I'm going to put this next topic. But it's somewhere between Tiny Tim. Remember the artist, not the kid from not the kid from A Christmas Carol. Do you remember Tiny Tim, the musician? This next topic falls somewhere between Tiny Tim and, I don't know, Stanley Kubrick? I mean, somebody like that? A recluse? This next topic is going to fall somewhere in between those two. And listen, it's not a person, but it's strange enough and uncomfortable enough that for me it's going to fall between those two people.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With a quick break, hour two kicks off right after this on the show that shakes the Southland. Stay with us.
It's time for Clemson Sports Talk with Lawton Swan.
Ready,
just call me Swanee.
Tiger style. Tiger style.
We'll be right back. is hour number two. That's Drive Time right here on the show, the Shakes of Southland Clemson Sports Talk on a Thursday afternoon. Hoping to be joined by legendary Clemson SID Tim Beray. If we can get him in, we will. But nonetheless, I do want to get back to what I was saying before the break. The world of weird. And I don't understand why this fan base feels like they have to be weird. But they are. And they don't need to be. I mean, they're one of the most recognizable brands in college football. And when I say the, I mean the. Capital T, capital H, capital E. One of the most recognizable brands in college football. And maybe all of college sports. They've had great basketball history. They've had great football history. But the Buckeyes of Ohio State have trademarked the word the. Now, they've always kind of had fun, you know, saying the Ohio State University. Putting the emphasis on the. Well, now the belongs to them. As they have trademarked the word the. Now, the significance of this, I have no idea outside of, you know, putting it on clothes and branding. But it's ridiculous for a multitude of reasons. Number one, in my opinion, it would be something if Ohio University, okay, if that school were a major power in college sports or even a Power Five program. Like if this was, say, Texas and Texas A&M and Texas wanted to be the University of Texas and wanted the emphasis on the to let everybody know that Texas was the. You're Ohio State. You are the only big deal in that state. Really? And I know Cincinnati fans, you're out there listening. You went to the playoff. Yeah, whatever. Not interested. I'm not interested in hearing from Cincinnati Bearcat fans. But I am interested in understanding why Ohio State would think that the was so important. Now, they are getting a lot of coverage about it for sure. But mostly it's been people making fun of it. And when this news came out back in 2019 that they were trying to pull this off, Michigan tweeted a trademark of with M on it, University of Michigan. Again, I don't really understand it. It seems to me petty on the surface. And maybe you're an Ohio State fan and you can explain to me why this is important to you. Or is it just about this, to have people across the country talking about Ohio State? I mean, quite frankly, if I'm Ohio State, I'm wanting to just accentuate the recruiting class that we're putting together at wide receiver right now with three of the top wideouts in the country committed. But instead, the news today about Ohio State is simply about the and not three big-name recruits that are going to be landing in Columbus. But hey, you do you. Like, The Buckeyes on the helmet, the Block O logo, their uniforms. There's so much that makes Ohio State unique and interesting and validates who they are, but yet to feel like they have to secure the word "the" to me is it's over the top. It's not well done. It's not humorous. It's annoying. It's annoying. And given how many people from Ohio flock to the state of South Carolina to go to the beaches and become annoying because they're crowding our streets and our roads, yep, that they just, this did it again. Thanks, Buckeye Nation, for reminding South Carolinians here on the show that shakes the Southland today why you are annoying to us. The most annoying fan base in America. I think that's pretty accurate at this point. I wonder, and I probably should have researched this before the show. What has been the response of Ohio State fans to it? If you're an Ohio State fan, I'm not sure we can get you in today, but we'll try. I'm just wondering how Ohio State fans feel about it. I'll tell you what. Let me see. Ohio State certainly tweeted it. Let's see some of the responses that they got. Tradition, honor, excellence, THE. One, the only, the Ohio State University. Drop the crown. I see Alabama tweeted something. I guess after they beat Ohio State 52-24, it said the national champions. Somebody else said, "Why does everyone hate us?" And then, of course, y'all obviously with the. This guy says, "This is embarrassing as an Ohio State fan." Somebody else tweeted a GIF that said, "What a loser." Somebody tweeted, "Pathetic." Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, I guess they've gotten what they want, attention. I'm certainly talking about it. I think it's hilarious, though. I truly believe it's hilarious. 803-450-0086. 803-450-0086, text line and phone line. Now, yesterday, Clemson's electric run on the recruiting trail continued as four-star defensive tackle Stephalon Green, maybe Stephalan, but I think it's more like Teflon, Stephalon Green committed to Clemson, four-star prospect out of the state of Georgia, meaning Clemson has ventured in to Georgia yet again. And on that defensive line, adding A.J. Hoffler a couple of days ago, and now Green, Nick Eason, and Clemson's defensive front, the recruiting for the future is, they are just killing it right now. And it's so impressive to kind of watch all of this unfold over the past couple of days. Since Avion Terrell committed, cornerback out of Westlake High School on June the 6th, the Tigers have had 11 additional commitments. Victor Burley on the defensive front out of Warner Robins, Georgia. Hoffler, as I mentioned, out of College Park, Georgia. And then Stephalon Green out of Rome, Georgia. Three of the four guys on the defensive front committed are from the Peach State. The only one not, David Ojibwe, out of Washington, D.C. So Clemson's locked up on the front four moving forward. 14 players currently committed in this 2022 class. And the Tigers just roll on and on and on in the state of Georgia and have one of the top recruiting classes in the country. No surprise there. They've been as high as number 3, which is where they currently sit in Rivals rankings. Ohio State on top of the board with 13 commits, 2 5-stars, 10 4-stars. Notre Dame, second with 15 commits, 1 5-star, 13 4-stars. Clemson with 14 commits, 12 of which are 4-stars, ranking third overall in the recruiting rankings, according to 247's team rankings in the 2023 recruiting class. The Clemson Tigers currently check in at number 3 as well, behind Notre Dame, who's on top, and then Ohio State. So, according to both Rivals and 247, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Ohio State have the top 3 recruiting classes in the 2023 class thus far. I think Clemson wants to take somewhere in the neighborhood of 22, maybe 23 prospects in this class, and you never know with attrition where they will end up. As for the South Carolina Gamecocks, hanging out with us today, peeking over the fence, and we talk a little Carolina recruiting here on the program from time to time with Mike Yuva when he joins us every Tuesday afternoon. I was looking at it. The Gamecocks, according to 247, are sitting at 43rd overall right now with 8 total commits, 2 that are 4-star, 5 that are 3-star, and apparently 1 that is either a 2-star, 1-star, or a no-star at this point, according to 247. And then the Rivals team rankings have South Carolina sitting in a similar position at 40th overall with 8 recruits committed, and 8 of them, according to Rivals, all 8 are 3-star prospects. 803-450-0086. So Clemson's run since June the 6th has been absolutely phenomenal. And quite frankly, I don't think many people, saw this coming, because I think there was this hunch or this thought about Clemson that the 10-3 year sort of blemished the program and they were going to, you know, kind of fall back to where they had been. But there is, and I've said this and I hear it from recruits, there is a major advantage to the way Clemson is continuing to do things with the emphasis on the educational side. By the way, one big name did make his selection earlier today. Quarterback Arch Manning, the nation's number one recruit in the 2023 class, announced a commitment to the University of Texas. The 5-star quarterback's final groups were Texas, Georgia, and Alabama. So, Arch Manning will be going to UT. He said committed to the University of Texas, hook 'em, which means Arch will play football in the SEC at some point in his career. So there you go, Arch Manning. Just joined Twitter, as a matter of fact, back in February. I didn't even realize he was on Twitter, but Manning will be going to Texas. So the Longhorns, whose class, let's see, before Manning committed, they were sitting at 26th overall. It will be interesting to see where they bump up with Manning's commitment to 17th in the Rivals ranking. So Texas goes from 26th to 17th with the commitment of 5-star quarterback Arch Manning. 803-450-0086. Don't forget tomorrow's show. We will have a retrospective edition of the program for you. You'll get a chance to hear from Graham Neff again. We'll replay our interview we did with Wayne Buckingham and a whole lot more goodness on a Friday afternoon. Speaking of retrospective editions of the program and throwback interviews, I was trying to take a look. Remember the other day I was diving into the list of great moments in the program's history and lots of other quality interviews that we had.
I was drinking almost a beer per play.
That's never going to get old. That's never going to get old. I just wish, Scott, if you're listening, Scott, text me. Do you remember what game that was? Like, that's the thing I don't know. Scott was always traveling around. Scott, you know, probably traveled more miles than anybody listening to the show that shakes the Southland. But I do, Scott, sit here today and I think, what game would have possessed that comment to produce itself on the program? I do know this. The second that you said it, I knew that was going to last. That was going to be a memory for a long time here on the program. Just to reset it, again, Arch Manning, number one recruit in the 2023 class, committed to Texas earlier today. Manning had been recruited heavily by Georgia, Alabama, LSU, Clemson, and Virginia. He is also ESPN's number one recruit in the 2023 class. And, you know, being the nephew of Eli Manning and Peyton Manning and the grandson of Archie Manning, I said back when he had visited Clemson that I thought Clemson would be a good place for him because the Tigers had just groomed Trevor Lawrence for the NFL, and I would make an argument because of his name. His name, more than anything, has put him in a category similar to Trevor Lawrence, and that I thought Clemson could manage the massive media hype that kind of follows him. Well, now that will fall on the shoulders of Steve Sarkisian and the Texas Longhorn program, which, mind you, you may remember, just got Quinn Ewers, who left school early a year ago to enroll at Ohio State, the Ohio State, only to take the money from NIL and then go back to the University of Texas. But now, the number one recruit in the class, Arch Manning, will take the Manning legacy to Texas and Austin and will battle with Quinn Ewers. And one can only assume that one of these two guys probably ends up in the transfer portal. Is that how it goes? Nonetheless, Arch has got another year. Quinn, of course, will probably be the guy who, you know, he was considered the top recruit in the 2021 class, but with a year of sitting out and so on and so forth, you see where this is going. There'll be a little gap presented between the two, but there will be competition, no doubt, out in Austin, Texas, for the starting job as soon as Manning gets on campus next year. All right, 803-450-0086. We'll take a quick break here and bounce back with more of the show that shakes the Southland on a Thursday afternoon. It is Clemson Sports Talk. Clemson Sports Talk on a Thursday. You know, we've got a retrospective edition coming up tomorrow, and we'll kind of lead into that here. We sat down with Tom Weidman back in May of 2020. Of course, the pandemic was raging on and things were shut down, and we were doing interviews with stars from yesteryear, so to speak, and Tom and I were in school at Clemson, and here's some of that interview that we did with him back in 2020 on a Thursday afternoon.
I'm doing great, Lawton. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, look, it's such unique times, and I'm trying to do some storytelling here, and our listeners know that, and so, you know, I want to get to your time at Clemson, because you guys are so exciting as we both went in there in 1995 as freshmen, but when you look back at Tom Weidman's, life in sports, when did things really begin for you, or what are some of your earliest memories?
Well, I was the youngest brother of three, so, you know, I had older brothers who were playing sports. So for me, it started real early, and it was just kind of part of our...
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Family dynamic, and, I was tall, so that helped with sports as well. So, you know, I came out of the chute early, as soon as I could play on a 10-foot goal. You know, I was playing with older kids, so probably – second, third grade, I was, starting to think about, I knew it was a lot of fun, but I guess I was probably thinking about, being a good athlete and at least making it a big part of our life. And, I think having older brothers is for anybody who's got older brothers who are athletic, certainly makes it a lot easier.
Did you have somebody else in your family that was tall? I mean, you mentioned how you were tall when you were little and obviously nearly 7 feet tall. I mean, is that genetics? Is there somebody else in your family that's really, really tall in the past?
My mom's tall. I mean, she's not super tall. I mean, she's probably 5'9", 5'10". Her dad, my grandfather, was a tall dude, and he actually was a swimmer at Clemson for a little while. He was probably 6'5", 6'6", so pretty tall for his age. So certainly was in there, but my older brothers topped out at about 6'3", 6'4". They're tall, but they're not, 6'10".
Yeah, and I'm sure there are difficulties living with that height and cars and all kind of things, and we might get into that. But so there you are. You're younger. Your older brothers are kind of challenging you a little bit. They're pushing you. Were you better at one sport than the other initially? I mean, did you play all three major sports, or kind of, how did you get into, these sports that you were playing back then?
No, I was basketball and baseball forever. So never really did anything else. And where I grew up in East Cobb, Georgia, it's a big baseball world. So, East Marietta was a Little League organization that won the entire World Series in 1983, and that was when I was 6 or 7 years old. So, baseball was a big deal when we were growing up. Everybody played, certainly played basketball because I was tall. So I was always just basketball and baseball, man. Played all the way through up until my senior year in high school.
Tom Weidman, former Clemson Tiger center, hanging out with us. And you mentioned growing up in Marietta. I'm from a small town in South Carolina where there's one high school, and you knew all the local town heroes, et cetera. Do you remember, in fifth, sixth, seventh grade, guys that you looked up to playing sports that you thought, oh man, one day if I could just be, this guy?
I went to a couple of the high school basketball games and, thinking that was a pretty big deal, but I was more of a college and pro. I started watching Georgia Tech basketball at a pretty early age, and then I was Atlanta Braves. I was just hooked. my parents tell stories about how the whole family was going out to dinner and then go to a movie, and I'd be like, no way, I'm staying home to watch the Braves game, just a regular regular season game. And I was like 7 years old.
Well, they weren't great back then, Tom, they weren't the best.
And they weren't the best. It didn't matter to me. I had to memorize everybody's batting stance. It had to be everybody's number. And, I was a huge Braves fan. And then, watched Georgia Tech basketball when I was little, because I'm, in the Atlanta area.
Yeah.
Certainly had some ties to Clemson because my grandfather and my uncles went there. So was certainly tied to Clemson a little bit too, even at a young age. And those are the guys I looked up to. Dominique Wilkins for the Hawks was kind of my hero. And, you know, loved watching as I got older, the Georgia Tech era with Kenny Anderson and Brian Oliver and Dennis Scott, when they made their run. I think I was probably in middle school or high school. I guess that was probably middle school. So those were really the teams, the Hawks, the Braves, and Georgia Tech basketball, that were kind of the folks that I watched.
Tom Weidman with us here on Clemson Sports Talk, the show that shakes the Southland. Now, I was doing some digging on you. So you were actually born in a smaller town in South Carolina. You're actually born in Hartsville. What was the nature of you guys being over there back in late 76?
Yeah, my mom is from Hartsville. So, you know, her family's still there. You know, we used to go to Hartsville for Easter and Thanksgiving every year. Big, you know, all my cousins there. So real deep roots in Hartsville, South Carolina. And that's Hartsville is a split down the middle type of South Carolina town. So, you know, there is definitely some South Carolina fans in Hartsville, just as many as Clemson fans. But like I said, my whole family on my mom's side was diehard Clemson. So I had that exposure at a young age. And, you know, we moved. I don't remember living there. I was born in Hartsville, but then we moved to Atlanta in like 1980. So I was 3 or 4 years old. And but like I said, we have deep roots there. And I used to go back there twice a year, every year, forever.
And outside of, I'm assuming, your time at Clemson and then playing basketball overseas, et cetera, the majority of, you know, your living and life has been done sort of in that Atlanta metropolitan area?
That's right. We are in East Cobb, which is a segment of Marietta. We're, you know, 15 miles from the city, but very much in the suburbs. And we've basically been there ever since. Yes, I've bounced around in my career, but we've always called East Cobb home.
We'll hit a quick break here on a Thursday and come back with more from Tom Weidman. Rocking and rolling with you on a Thursday again, taking it back to an interview we did with Tom Weidman back in May of 2020. We'll jump right back in on Clemson Sports Talk on Fox Sports Radio 1400. Now, you're growing up playing sports. You're getting better. You're middle school. You're probably starting to look a little bit different than everybody, given the fact that you're going to eventually be 6'11". At what point along the way were people like, hey, this Weidman kid, yeah, he might be pretty good? Do you remember that moment? And when did it click for you that you might be pretty good?
I don't know if it ever did. So, you know, my dad always had me playing up. So I was always tall, but I was playing with older kids. And he knew, because I was very tall for my age group, he knew that if I didn't play up an age group, then I would, you know, not develop as quickly. So I was always playing up, and I was, you know, I was a guard my whole life until I got to, I guess, probably high school. So it, because I was playing up and I wasn't as tall compared to the older kids, I was handling the ball, and, you know, I was not a center like I ended up being. When I got to high school, you know, I guess, you know, I wasn't on a very great high school team. Like, we never qualified for state tournament in Georgia. Back then it was a little more difficult than it is now, but, right. You know, I mean, I was big and I guess, I mean, even like my junior year, because I was pretty close with the Georgia Tech basketball program. I went down there to talk to their coach, who Bobby Crimmins, who was a family friend for a little while. And even then he was like, yeah, you could probably play some college ball, you know, mid-major, you know, Furman, Davidson. And that was like my junior year. So, and wow. I kind of believed him, you know, okay, great. I was kind of excited. That's cool. You know, I could play some college ball. You know, so maybe, I guess, late junior year, senior year, it started looking like I could do something bigger than that. It got kind of fun. You know, I was never a kid that, and I probably, you know, to some degree, this probably hurt me a little bit, but I was never a kid that had real big dreams. I wasn't, I wasn't a dreamer. And that probably hurt me in the long run just because, I didn't set real, big audacious goals for myself. And I was just kind of a work hard kind of guy and, let the chips fall where they may. And so if the coach from Georgia Tech said I could play at a mid-major college, okay, that's great. Sounds good. I wasn't disappointed or anything. And then as things kind of developed and I kept playing, especially in my AAU team, we were pretty good. I think I just got a little more exposure and some of the bigger schools became interested at the end of the road. So, I don't know it's hard to say when I really felt like this was going to be a bigger piece of my life or, as we're going to, dedicate to playing, basketball at a major college. Maybe Lawton, to answer your question, this might be the best way to describe it. I did not play baseball my senior year in high school. So maybe that was when I started thinking, okay, maybe I need to get a little more serious about basketball.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
You guys arrive on campus. Tom Weidman with us here. 7 freshmen in that group back in 1995. And I can remember getting there to Clemson as well. And to be a freshman that loved basketball, I eventually actually tried out for the team. They had walk-on practice the following season. The only person that made it was, of course, Brian Chester, who had already been a part of the team. But anyway,
right.
Sour grapes aside. No, I'm just kidding. But I look back and think about what it meant to the guys that were freshmen like me to know that young guys were influencing the Clemson basketball team early. That was really cool. So you play your high school career. Rick Barnes, I assume, or Larry Shyatt, who kind of brings you in and says, hey, we want you at Clemson. And then ultimately, tell us what it was like to kind of know that you guys were really the buzz on campus to a big degree back in 1995.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Barnes was so dynamic. And people ask me, why did I go to Clemson? And the true answer is just because Coach Barnes wanted me more than anybody else. And, he walked into math class in high school and, kind of unannounced, just kind of barged in and told the math teacher, he needs her help to get me to come to Clemson in the middle of, the whole class. And the other coaches just didn't do that. And so, for me, I was a kid that, grew up in a kind of a middle-class family. And, I always tell the story that, my parents made me take the trash out to the end of the driveway and had to mow the grass and fold the clothes. And so to have a big time coach come in here and say, we're going to drop everything and we want you to come, that was kind of a big deal to me. So, he wanted me more than anybody else. He made it clear. He laid out an opportunity for me to play right away. He kind of laid out who all was coming and who my competition was going to be to get some playing time. So he also made it clear that we were going to have a big class and it was going to be his first real class where he had the whole recruiting process while he was at Clemson. And that was exciting. And we got to campus and it was fun knowing that we had a big group. And I'll never forget freshman year, that Virginia game at home when Merle, I think that was the game Merle, I think, tore his ACL. And Virginia was pretty good. They had Harold Dean and Curtis Staples. And Harold Dean had 39 that game. And he was just on fire. Well, Merle, late in the game, tears his ACL. Buck fouls out. Well, we finished the game with 5 freshmen on the court, and we win. And, we didn't really think about it at the time.
Yeah.
because we were all kind of playing. We were all playing a lot. But of course, after the game was over, all you guys were all over us about, you know, five freshmen. And I guess it was five freshmen. wasn't really a big deal to us, but I guess it was to everybody else. And so that was kind of fun looking back at it.
Again, a throwback interview with Tom Weidman. We'll hit a quick break. We'll come back. We'll put a bow on the show that shakes the Southland. It is Clemson Sports Talk. Follow the show on Twitter at Clemson Sports, where nearly 25,000 other people already do. We'll hit a break. We'll come back. We'll put a bow on the Thursday edition right after this.
What have you done for me lately? It's a fair question. Just don't lose sight of the bigger picture. Don't forget history. Lucky for us at Clemson, the answer to the questions, what have you done for me lately, and what have you done always, are the same. We win.
Final segment on a Thursday afternoon. Don't forget tomorrow, full retrospective edition of the program. Graham Neff, Wayne Buckingham. We'll have a host of other throwbacks for you on the Friday edition of the program. Our website, put the .com on it, doggone it, ClemsonSportsTalk.com. And if you are somebody in control of advertising or you're the owner of a business and you want to reach out to more people, hit me up, Lawton@ClemsonSportsTalk.com. All right, we'll wrap it up. Our interview we did with Tom Weidman back in May of 2020. Throwback as we get out of here on a Thursday afternoon.
Let's face it, it's not a place where basketball is often hyped.
Yeah, you know, I think it's certainly the fact that it coincided with a couple of down years in football, I think definitely helped us. And you know, I think a lot of it was Coach Barnes's personality, kind of that he quickly had some success, even his first year when they beat Duke at Duke. He showed early signs that he's going to turn this thing around, and then it turned around, and it was fun. You know, I mean, the Little John was packed. You know, even the 9 o'clock Wednesday night game, it was full. And you know, obviously, it was kind of the golden era of ACC basketball too. So,
oh man, yeah,
people were coming to watch. That's for sure.
Tom, you were banging around with some big guys there in the Atlantic Coast Conference, including one Tim Duncan, but you go back and you guys didn't look like a not just normal freshman in college basketball, but you guys had already physically sort of changed what you were going to look like. Now, when you arrived on campus initially, were you as bulky as you were, or was that sort of what part of the plan in terms of developing you guys down in the post?
Well, I was fortunate. When I was in high school, I hooked up with a guy in Atlanta who really helped me kind of transform my body starting like my sophomore year in high school. I was very, very thin. And there was a guy who had worked out with some of the athletes at our high school, and he really, really helped me transform. And so I went from in my freshman year in high school, I was a 6'7", 175 pounder. And by the time I got to Clemson, I was more like 245, 250.
Yeah.
And I think that was one of the reasons why Coach Barnes wanted guys like Big O and myself, and even Patrick Garner was a big boy, because we could physically play right away. And it wasn't like they needed to put 20 pounds on us. We could come in and we could play right away and compete physically with, you know, in the ACC. And but, you know, Big O, so a lot of people don't know this, but Big O and I, we met obviously on the official visit, and Big O, he's the best athlete I've ever been around, period, hands down. He is, you know, you could make a great argument that he could have very easily been an all pro defensive end in the NFL.
Sure.
But remember when Trevor Price was at Clemson, when he had transferred from, I think he came from Michigan.
Right. Yep.
Well, there was a day where we had to work out in the football weight room because something was going on in our weight room, and Big O and Trevor were down there and just kind of mouthing off, and we just decided, let's just figure this out right now. Who's a better athlete? And, you know, I forget what they did, what lifts, but Big O gets up on the vertical jump and, you know, he could touch like 12 feet, 4 inches. I mean, something ridiculous. But I remember thinking from an athletic perspective, here's, you know, Trevor ended up being a great defensive end.
Oh yeah.
I mean, Big O in the weight room was just as impressive, if not more impressive. And he was unbelievable. Well, before our freshman year, the coaches put us together. He came and stayed with me in Atlanta for 3 weeks, and all we really did was just kind of lift and train. Well, it was clear that he hadn't done a whole lot of lifting back in his days in high school, even as a football player. All of his athleticism was just natural, and it was amazing, incredible. But, you know, he was a guy that was a 6'8", 260 pounds, 270 pounds, could run a 4.6, 36 inch vertical. I mean, he was a freak. And so we got to campus and we were ready, you know, we were ready to go. And you know, it was a lot of fun kind of getting thrown into the mix quick.
So there you go. Our interview with Tom Weidman from several years ago. Great stuff, though. Again, the big news in college sports today, at least in college recruiting, Arch Manning will be headed to Texas to play with the Longhorns. Steve Sarkisian, going to be a crowded quarterback room. Again, he's got another year of high school, though. Tomorrow, going to be a full retrospective edition of the program. Don't forget that. You will enjoy it, though, because out of the gates, Graham Neff, Clemson University Director of Athletics, the interview we did with him earlier in this week, will be featured, and that'll give you a chance to hear his thoughts on the hiring of Eric Backich, Clemson's new baseball coach. Again, thank you all for hanging out with us, helping us grow. The website is, gaining so much traction because of you guys. We'd love to have you support us. $1 for your first 3 months. After that, $63.17 for a year of coverage. Of course, Gamecock Nation, you heard that right. 63-17.
So you could continue to peek over the fence at the best radio show in the nation.
The late, great Cleveland man dropping that dime on us many moons ago. We got to get out of here. Thank you again for being a part of the program. Like, share, and subscribe, and tell your friends and neighbors and your friends' neighbors about the show. And until tomorrow, as always, y'all take care now. And go Tigers!
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.